up to point four, D4, is that correct? D4? Yes. Okay, let's read that one more time, D4. Amen. I'm not going to develop these points in this session. I just want to highlight these for you so that you could appreciate maybe some of the wordings, and this might give you some kind of appetite to go back to consider some of these points personally in your time with the Lord. Let's read point A. Amen. I would really kind of circle that point or highlight. That really encapsulates the burden that we had in the first earlier session. Then point B, as our food, Christ is the best cleansing element. He washes our inner being. C, the washing of our disposition. Then C, we all need an inward cleansing of
the Lord, the cleansing that comes from eating Jesus.
Amen. Then point E.
Eating Jesus is the secret of overcoming. The unique way to be an overcomer is to eat Jesus.
Amen. Eating Jesus is the secret to overcoming.
Amen.
Then point F makes this point, the seriousness of this point, by linking with the point in Leviticus 11. F, the fact that Leviticus 11 speaks of death in relation to diet indicates that our diet, our eating, is a matter of life or death. Then under Romans 2 says Leviticus 11 is concerned very much with death. Let's read point A. Death. And then C, according to the Bible,
death is more defiling and abominable than sin.
Point one. Yeah, this shows our confessing our sins can be effectual immediately by the cleansing of the blood. But if we suffer under some kind of spiritual death, sometimes it takes a little longer to be able to get rid of the effects. But the way is by eating.
Amen.
Then point E, the short point. Death
is allied with the devil.
Oh, did you know that? Death is allied with the devil. F. We may think that the attack on the church is from some kind of outward factor. We may not realize that actually Satan is attacking the church by leading us personally to contact the wrong people from Monday through Friday or Saturday. Then all week long, we're full of death. Then no wonder you go to your group meeting on Wednesday or Thursday, Friday evening. Yeah. You go to the church meeting on the Lord's Day. Doesn't it take a little while sometimes to bring everyone out of the death situation? You need like four hymns before you can get a prayer out of somebody. Think about it, saints. Think about it. The enemy fights in this way. Amen. Then let's read points I and J at the bottom. I and J at the end. I, because
of the resurrection of Christ. The life-giving spirit dwells in us. We can reign in life over death.
Amen.
The
Let's read, hold it. Let's read that one as if we're reigning in life over death. Amen. 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 Pull your spirit up. Amen. Amen. I. Amen.
We can reign in life over death.
Amen. Then
my life informs us as kings to reign in life over death.
Amen. J.
For if we are of the body of Christ, we need to minister life. We experience and enjoy the resurrection life within, and then minister this life by being a channel through which this life can flow into other members of the body.
Amen. And that's our shepherding. And that's our building, the church. Whether that's one-on-one contact with somebody, sending an email to someone, a text, whether that is having an appointment for lunch or after work, or that's our group meeting, or that's in the church meeting on the Lord's Day, we speak something. We experience and enjoy the resurrection life. Then that life works within us and cleanses us from our death. Then we minister to others by being a channel through which this life can flow. Amen. Then we are defeating the last enemy.
Amen.
And we are overcoming the gates of Hades.
Amen.
And we're building the church.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to the third outline that you have in your booklet, in your packet. The third outline. It's just one sheet, front and back. It's the last, I guess it's the last page of your packet. It's called The Practice of Fellowship with God. The Practice of Fellowship with God. Now, in the first session, we pointed out this matter of the significance of eating. And that in the Bible, this matter of eating has two aspects. One is our contact with others. We are taking in something from outside of us. We're taking something in, and then it affects us somehow. The other aspect is eating the Lord. Of course, we read those verses. The Lord Jesus said, "Eat me. He who eats me shall live because of me."
Amen.
Now, and this matter of eating is very much through the Bible, through the words of the Bible, and we can eat the Lord in the Word. Okay. However, our actual practical situation is thus. We know that many of our brothers and sisters who are in the church life, even just for a short time, although we have many here who are not with us for a short time. We have many who are church life veterans already. And you learn, and even not only we in the church life, I was a believer long before I came to my first church meeting, and the Christians that I was meeting with, they were very faithful, very faithful. I got help from them to read the Bible every day. That was just what we learned. I learned that when I was a child. I learned that when I was a young believer, or when I was first baptized at 12, read the Bible every day. And I had the desire. It's not, I didn't do it just because they told me. When I got the day I got baptized, my sister and her husband, they gave me a gift of a new Bible. It's not this Bible. This is probably my fourth Bible. But that was my first Bible. It was King James Version. I still have it. It's in my study. But it's beat up and falling apart. But I used to love to read. I just had a desire to read. And in those days, I could tell you, even as a 12-year-old, when I read the Bible, I didn't have these words, but I ate the Lord.
Amen.
Whenever I would open the Bible and read, I received something. Nourished. I was nourished. And the way I said it when I was a kid was, I used to read the Bible and experience the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
That was just my experience. And I used to love to read the Psalms. Still do. You read the Psalms, and every page I felt like, oh, the Lord is with me.
Amen.
Okay. But since then, I have faced periods of time and see whether you can relate to this, where I read the Bible on a particular morning, and it wasn't quite the same. Actually, it was kind of stale. It was kind of dry. Okay. Now, that will happen. That will happen. And I always say, every contact with the Bible means something. Every contact, even that kind of contact with the Bible, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. However, it's not normal to have an extended period of time that you actually open the Word and it's dry. That's not normal. It's not normal to not eat the Lord for a period of time. So I've been wondering, because I've had this experience, and I found out many saints have this experience, and I might be able to say every brother and sister at some time or another has gone through a period of time like this, of dryness. You read, and it seems you get nothing. Now, one point is, you shouldn't always read to try to get something. That is, to try to understand something. We should read just to contact the Lord.
Amen.
Now, that's one, maybe the first point. When we come to the Word, our heart has to be turned. We're not looking for a feeling. We're not even looking for inspiration. We're not looking for a supply for our day. But we have to admit, many times, that's why we come to the Word. It's a rough day. It's a rough day. I know what's coming. I need the supply. So you go and you open the Word, pray, read some verses. But actually, we're not pure. It seems that the way the Lord takes it, we're looking for something not quite Him. Not quite Him. It's like having a one of those energy drinks, you know, those, you know, things that are not that good for you, but you, yeah, Red Bull, or 5-hour energy, a little boost. We want a boost, not Christ. Actually, we say, Lord, I love you, but I really want a boost. I want a zap. I want strength for the day. And sometimes, just because of that, the Lord withholds His presence. So do you really want me? Or you want what I give?
Amen.
We have to say, Lord, no. I want you.
Amen.
I want you.
Amen.
So this session is devoted to this. How to come to the Word and draw nourishment from the Word. Okay? So there are a number of writings that we have in the ministry. We're really blessed. And from a few of the writings, we have compiled this outline. And even I will say this also as a kind of a disclaimer at the beginning. My intention is not to cover this outline. I'm just going to use this outline. If we really want to cover this outline, we probably need maybe 3 sessions. Yeah, to really get into. And the best way to do this would be have a little fellowship, 30 minutes, and then send you to practice.
Right.
And then come back and have an hour to review our practice. How was your time? How was your time? Not what did you enjoy, not that, but how did you enjoy it? Okay, it'll sort of become clear later. But anyway, we're going to use some of these points. Let's read the 2 titles and then Roman number 1. The overall title, The
Practice of Fellowship with God.
Amen. One.
Prayer is nothing but waiting on God and breathing in God. Breathing God is to absorb God.
Amen. Now, I don't know if any of you find it interesting that we have this word procedures to fellowship with God. How to enjoy God in prayer and the procedures to fellowship with God. And I didn't invent this. I took this from a writing from Brother Lee, Brother Witness Lee, called Lessons for New Believers. Lessons for New Believers. And that this outline is partly based on that book. This is in chapter 21. And there's another book called How to Enjoy God and How to Practice the Enjoyment of God. It's one of our longer titles, chapter 5. And This outline is based on those two writings, those two chapters. And in Lessons for New Believers, Brother Lee talks about the procedures for fellowship with God. You might think, fellowship with God, what procedures? You just talk to God. That's true. That's true. That works. That works. That is a kind of fellowship with God. That is that you could talk to him anywhere at any time. Okay? That's one aspect. But there's also another aspect. The other aspect is at a set time and at a set place. And that's what we have at the end of the outline under Romans 3 and 4. A time to fellowship with God constantly and setting aside fixed times. 4, the place to fellowship with God, anytime and anywhere, and setting aside a specific place. Because we have examples in the Bible of both. David, you know David? Before he became king, he was a shepherd. He wrote this chapter in the Bible, very well known. It starts with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Where do you think he got the inspiration for that? I think it was out on a field somewhere. Then there's another psalm. That's Psalm 23. It's another Psalm 8. It says, "When I behold the moon and the stars, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Where did he get the inspiration for that? I think he was lying in the field, looking up at night. So he was talking to God anywhere, anytime. So we have these kind of examples in the Bible. But we also have examples of a set time of prayer. You know that what I told you in the first session about Peter with the, you know, with the sheet, with the animals? That happened during one of his set times of prayer. You read in Acts 10. It was a set time that he had to pray daily, a set time. And with Peter, you see a few times. They go in the hour of prayer. Hour of prayer. So there's to make a set time of prayer every day. It's very, very healthy. It really follows the spiritual example. Okay. But did you know there are certain principles? If you follow them, you'll be a healthy Christian. Just like humanly. We are an organic being. But there are principles. If you follow certain principles, you will be healthy. If you break those principles, you will not be healthy. Okay, spiritually, same thing. Okay, and I would like to mention two things before we get into any details that I have found from my personal experience as well as observations. And actually, I have been observing, I would even say studying this matter for 31 years. We had a conference or kind of training in January of 1987. January of 1987, where we really got into this matter of how to contact the Lord. Since then, because I learned many of these principles that we're going to share with you today, I learned it then. Although I realized I had been brought into some of the practices without realizing their principles. But during that period of time, I discovered, these are important. There are some principles to follow. These are the procedures. Since then, nearly everywhere and with every age group and nearly every continent, I've been observing. Oh, the brothers and sisters face frustrations. Have you faced frustrations in prayer? Yes. That you get this, you feel like, why even make the time? What's the value? They talk about, and in the meeting they mention, but for me, then it's very possible Satan will lie to you and say, oh, it's because of you, actually. Because actually, God doesn't love you. It's partiality. He loves them. He doesn't love you. Don't fall for this. Don't fall for this. You will see, I tell you, you follow these principles that we talk about today, you'll be full of the love of the Lord by tonight.
Amen.
You will be assured how much the Lord loves you by tonight.
Amen.
Two matters that I realize are maybe the biggest frustrations to experiencing these things. Okay. And maybe I'll just write these two words down, kind of to guide the fellowship. One is our wandering mind. Undisciplined thoughts. Do you have this kind of experience? Maybe after a meeting like this or weekend, you feel, oh, amen, yeah, I need to spend time. So Monday morning, you got your place, and you woke up 10 minutes early. I hope you make it 30, but anyway, 10 minutes early, we keep the bar low to, you know, even 5 is okay, even 5. And then you get there, and then you come to, you have the verse assigned. You know, that's why the church, most of the churches, we recommend verses to the brothers and sisters every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we have the books that you just follow, next page. That's so that you don't have to like, let me see, what's a good verse for today? 5 minutes passed already. So, but if you have your oh, okay. Oh, Psalm 27:4. Okay. Or some of you use the Holy Word from one of your Bible book. You just, there it is. Just, okay. So you start. Whatever the verse is. Okay. Maybe the verse is, what? Say a verse. God is spirit. God is spirit, those who worship him. Let's worship in spirit. Okay. And you start. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord, I want to eat you. Amen. Oh, God is spirit. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, no. I forgot to call so-and-so yesterday. Ah. Oh. That really happened. Falan, are you here? Falan? Yeah. I owe Bill Lawson a phone call. I remembered this morning. You know where? Yeah. I remember this morning. Yeah. Supposed to call him yesterday. I tell him Thursday. I will call you tomorrow. Tomorrow was yesterday. And I forgot. Now you're praying. Oh, Lord, I love Bill. How many of you have ever had a Bill moment? Yeah, in your morning. Yeah, not with Bill, but, you know, with something. You're like, oh, Lord. Or, oh, Lord, today's the exam. And then, like, your whole inner being just, and if you forget God is spirit, for maybe you come back. Maybe. Or maybe you're, well, what time is it? Maybe I'll call him now. No, it's too early to call. Let me send him an email. And the Lord is, he just left him flat there to go to. I won't ask for hands for that one. But the mind is not disciplined. So many things. It could be something of yesterday. It could be something of today. It could be from a dream. Did that ever happen? Oh, Lord Jesus. And you don't exactly know when the dream came and took over. But you're thinking about the dream. How many have experienced this? Yes or no? This is just to make sure I'm not the only one. Yeah. And if it's a bad dream, your inner being sinks. And it's like spiritual death just came in and took over. It's very difficult to pull your spirit out. But that has to do with undisciplined mind. So, Romans 8:6. You don't have to turn to it, but Romans 8:6 says, the mind set on the flesh is death, the mind set on the Spirit. Set. We have to learn to set. Our problem is we set, and in 10 seconds, it becomes unset. Because after I realize, okay, I got to call Bill later. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, that I don't know what to share in the second message. Now, you wouldn't have that. But I had that this morning. You know what I mean? And like I'm thinking about right now. And I'm like fighting. Lord, I'm not preparing now. I think this is difficult for the brothers who have to speak on a certain day. Do you ever get this? You're, oh, Lord, I love you. And let's see. That's a good point. Yeah. And this point is, oh, I'm very burdened for this point. What's the verse? Let me see. Then you and you're in the Word, but actually, that's not the time. This morning, I have to say, Lord, I'm not preparing. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. But I set, and right away, my responsibility, my mind. But for you, it might be, oh, I have a dental appointment. Should I drive? No, there's no parking. I'll take the metro. I'll take the subway. Oh, you know, that bagel place is really good. You never had those gyrations in your morning time? And then you, oh, amen, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. 7 minutes passed already. You have 3 minutes left. Suppose you really enjoy for those 3 minutes. Now you go to work. Your 3 minutes of dispensing, 3 minutes of eating. Mm-hmm. It could be that our church life is hanging on 3 minutes of nourishment. Then we come to the group meeting. Sorry, no wonder nobody has anything to say. Because we're still eating in our daily life. We're still eating in contacting the other people. We're still eating in people telling us, oh, you got to get this new. Oh, don't you have the, what is it? S, what is it, 9 now? 9? What number? I don't even know. The phone, iPhone. Huh? X? It's an X now? I don't even know. Sorry. I'm not an I person. That's why I'm making the example. Oh, the S, this is coming out next week. Oh, and I gotta have one. Got to. And we just eat that. And when we come to the Lord's Day, sorry, the S whatever is there. And there's no Christ. Because we can only get 3 minutes of nourishment because of the undisciplined mind. Another verse. This is even stronger. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Amen. We need to take captive the thought. So when the thought comes, because they come. This doesn't prevent the thoughts from coming. Actually, the more you practice, the more we practice, and I'm talking about months and even years, you can train your mind. You can, to leave you alone and be subject to you during your time with the Lord. It really is like training a child. Nope, stay there. Stay there, even a pet. Might be easier. Stay there. The mind, it's like a tiger, but a slippery tiger. An eel. Maybe it's more like an eel that we talked about in the earlier session. You can tell your mind, stop. Stop. This kind of exercise actually builds up your spirit to give you a strong spirit so that your spirit can be under the rule of your mind. Amen. You know, I learned this from Brother Benjamin. Well, no, our dear brother Benjamin Chen. He used to tell us, see this picture? This is 2D, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Actually, when you see this 3D, it's like this. It's like this. The spirit is here, the soul is here, and the body is here. When you look down, you see this picture. But this spirit governs the soul. And then the soul should govern the body. The body should not drive you. What's that? Lust of the flesh. Sometimes we're driven by lust. Actually, that's not this picture. It's this picture. It's, the body, which is the flesh, and the spirit. It's upside down. Our spirit is so weak. The flesh, we feed the lust of the flesh. Our spirit is smothered. So we need to have the proper order. Build up our spirit. Oh, I tell you, this exercise, be in the Word. Feed your spirit in the Word. And when the mind starts to come, you can say, stop, not now. Actually, saints, this is not, you don't have to do this. But I'm just giving a testimony. Sometimes I even say out loud, stop it. Not now. Not now. Sometimes I don't know if I'm talking to the enemy or my own mind, maybe both. I would even say, ha, 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 not this time. Because that thought led me away last week. You know, our family just came to visit our children, and then with their families. And they have 3 grandchildren. They're just adorable. At least I think so. And I got this little guy, this new little guy. He's my youngest grandchild, 9 months. 9 months, right? Yeah, 9 months. Just turned 9 months. And you know, he's just a joy. He's just a joy. So I'm there. Oh, Lord. But I know he's in the house. And in like, as soon as I finish, I'm going to go see him. I can even hear him. He's in the other room. So I'm, oh, Lord Jesus. I just, my heart just, his name's Aiden. My heart just, but you know what? I have to take captive that thought. Not now. I have to tell myself and tell my mind, not now. Now, that's from Satan. Aiden's not from Satan. But that thought. No, stop. And you can tell your thought, not now, stop. Be subject. And then, don't repent for that. Just come back and go on. Don't, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me. Oh, I'm so weak. Stop that. Don't do that. Just enjoy. Just come back to the whatever word you were. And enjoy. Okay, another verse maybe should go along with this is 2:11, 2 Corinthians 2:11. That verse says that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. We are not ignorant of his schemes. And this word schemes in Greek actually can be translated thoughts or mind. So that you could translate that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his thoughts. Do you know that he injects his thoughts into our mind? Because through the fall of man, we took Satan in, and he lives in our flesh. And it's so easy for him to influence us. So a thought comes, you think it's your thought. It's not your thought. Not at that time. When that little thought of my grandson comes just to interrupt my fellowship, that is his thought. So I would say, ha ha, no, Satan. No, not today. Not today. Go away. And then just come back to enjoy. So this is one category, mind. I'm going to give this word to kind of summarize the fellowship in the second point, and that is the word breathing. Breathing. We read here in our Roman 1, real prayer is nothing but waiting on God and breathing in God. Breathing God is to absorb God. Okay. But breathing has two aspects. And I know we may not consider always, well, you don't think about breathing unless somebody mentions breathing. But of course, we're all sitting here breathing. But what you're doing is exhaling and inhaling. So this matter here, when it's talking about breathing, is emphasizing the inhaling. But I have observed, and we're going to get into that in a moment to develop this point, I have observed that a big frustration to the effectiveness of taking the Lord in, that is, we're faithful, and the Lord is faithful to dispense, we're faithful to receive. We do enjoy the Lord. We do receive the Lord. We do eat the Word. But the effectiveness of what we take in may not be so much. Why? Because we don't have the healthy breathing out. We need to breathe out in order to breathe in. And what do I mean by that? I believe that breathing out is really first. Exhaling is first. What is exhaling? Exhaling is emptying, unloading, discharging what's within us. You know, when someone first comes to the Lord and they get convicted of their sins, maybe it's in a gospel meeting, maybe we're talking to them one-on-one, and they cry out to God and say, God, I repent. I'm a sinner. I receive you. You know, that's a kind of exhaling. Confession is a kind of exhaling. Confession is a kind of emptying. And then makes room for the Lord to come in. So there's a kind of principle. You know, when the Lord first came to this earth in the human form, in incarnation, you know the story in the beginning of Luke? In Luke, Mary is about to give birth, and they go to one place. What does it say? No room. No vacancy. You know, they were trying to stop at an inn, like a motel. Right? And because of the census, people were coming back, so everything was full. They kept one place. Why did the Bible highlight this point? So there's no room in the inn. They ended up in a barn. And Mary gave birth in a barn. When it talks about the manger, yeah, that's in the barn. But it says there was no room in the inn. Do you know the Lord Jesus is very used to such a greeting? And it's very possible that when the Lord comes to us in the morning, there's a sign. We don't even know it's there. But our inner being, no vacancy. No room. Lord, dispense yourself into me. He wants to. But where? You're full of so many things. So many considerations. Maybe so many frustrations. So many discouragements. So many criticisms. So many unfulfilled longings. We have to unload those before the Lord in order for Him to come in. You know, in the human life, unavoidable. Unavoidable. Frustrations, disappointments, hurts, wounds, offenses. You can't avoid these things. No one can avoid these things. But you don't have to be full of them. And we may not realize that unless we really empty ourselves, then no matter how much the Lord dispenses into us, it won't be effective and we won't be transformed. It's one of the points later in the outline. So it could be from the past. there were some offenses. You know what? You're not going to get the apology that you want. It's not coming. So when will you let that go? It might be a frustration. It might be something of the past. It might be something of the present. It might be that, oh, so many things. Oh, and I know, I'll just talk about New York City, but we've experienced this different times in our church life. You could say, I don't know how many times I've said, I'm busier than I've ever been in my life. And then 3 months later, I say, I'm busier than I've ever been in my life. And then a year later, I say, the saints say, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm just busier than I have ever been in my life. And I'm just busier and then busier and then busier. And you, welcome. Welcome to the church in New York City. And so it's just busy, and there's many things, and then there's more things. And I was just talking to Falon. Oh, September. He says, September. Oh, so many things. Yeah, but how is that different from August and July? And every month is full of so many, you know. So then you come to the Lord, you don't realize. You're full. Full of tiredness. Not just physically, but in your soul. You're just full of, oh, full of frustration. Maybe some of the sisters in their heart said, don't these brothers know we have a life? When are we supposed to go shopping? I won't ask for hands because we may get one or two. Don't these brothers, sisters, need to breathe that out. Yeah, we need to do a little better too. We need to do a little better with our scheduling. But in the meantime, breathe out. Disappointments? Is there a spouse that's never been disappointed by the other spouse? Sorry. Just saying it the way it is, brother. Never been disappointed? You can breathe it out. Your children? Oh, so many things with the children. I tell you, you come to the Lord in the morning, and you're trying to, what is it? I come to thee, dear Lord. But you're just like, because of the kids. It could be because of their activities and events and schedules. It could be because of their disposition. They're getting to that age. And it's just, you don't know what to do. And you're, it could be many things. Human life. Saints, if we don't learn to exhale those things, you will never be happy. You just can't be happy. And the Lord, we'll see this tonight. The Lord wants a happy people. Amen. The Lord wants all his children to be happy.
Amen.
To be in jubilee.
Amen.
To be in real freedom.
Amen.
And we'll see, I hope we see this tonight. Freedom does not depend on our circumstances. It's not that just if your circumstance would change, then finally you'll be free and happy. If you're waiting for that, you'll be disappointed again. That'll be another frustration. You can be happy now. You can be happy in your current situation. It doesn't mean we don't need to pray. There are some things that should change, sure. But don't wait for things to change to become happy. The Lord can make you happy now. There's a verse. Oh well, I was gonna share this with you a little bit later. Psalm 27. That's a prominent verse on this outline. In Psalm 27, the key verse that the outline talks about is verse 4. One thing I have asked from Jehovah, that do I seek, to dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah, and to inquire in his temple. And here's a point that appears later in the outline. When we're contacting the Lord, this matter of unloading, emptying ourselves, of course, we realize this is not the goal. This is a procedure to the goal. And what is the goal? Right here. To behold the beauty of Jehovah. And it's not bad to tell the Lord, Lord, this morning, show me your beauty. Lord, because when you show me your beauty, everything is worthwhile. When you show me your beauty, I can handle just about anything. Lord, please show me your beauty. Now, we may need to unload because some things in our life that we don't unload become veils to us. They become veils. And even though the verse says in 2 Corinthians, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, unless you unload, there's still veils. Even you turn your heart, there are still veils from the things that are within our being. To behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. Verse 8. When you say, seek my face, to you my heart says, your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. Oh, I really would recommend that you spend 10, 15, 20 minutes to pray over this verse sometime. O Jehovah, when you say, seek my face, my heart says to you, your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. Lord, I only want your face. I want your smile. I want your countenance on me. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about blessing. I don't care about solving problems. Lord, I want you.
Amen.
Oh, that we could be that unloaded, that free to pray a prayer like this. Lord, I just need you. And then, verse 14. Wait for Jehovah. That's another big point on this outline. Wait. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Wait for Jehovah. Be strong and let your heart be encouraged.
Amen.
Yes. Wait for Jehovah. Saints, let your heart be encouraged.
Amen.
The Lord wants to encourage your heart. Let your heart be encouraged. I tell you, one way is breathe out. And the Lord's comfort can come in. Okay, let's look at a hymn. Let's look at this hymn. Number 255. I think it's familiar to most of us, but not everyone here. Sharon, where are you? Could you please? Just verse 1. Yeah, 255. Sorry for the impromptu. I didn't remember that I was going to do this. Do we have it? 255. Mm-hmm. Let's just sing verse 1 and the chorus.
O Lord, breathe thy spirit on me. Teach me how to breathe thee in.
Help me pour into thy bosom all my life of self and sin. I am breathing out my sorrow, breathing out my sin. I am
chorus, it sets up the principle. First, I'm breathing out. Then I'm breathing in. Breathing out my sorrow. Breathing out. Of course, we have to breathe out our sin. We have to confess our sins. We can't think we're going to enjoy the Lord's presence if we have sin. But it's more than just confessing. We have to breathe out lots of things. And one of them is our sorrow. Has something gotten you down lately? You have to breathe it out. And then you breathe in his fullness. Verse 2, how does that start?
Breathing
out my own life. Verse 3.
Sinful nature.
Verse 4. Read 4. Read the whole thing. I am breathing
out my sorrow on thy kind and gentle breast.
Amen. Up to there, it's okay. How do you let your heart be encouraged? Breathe out the sorrow. Breathe out the frustration. Then you can breathe in the joy and the comfort and the peace and the rest. You know, the Christian life, and we're going to talk about this tonight, about joy. But the joy we're talking about is usually not expressed in exuberance. You have that, and we'll see tonight. You better have that. You have to have that sometimes. But mostly, it's peace and rest. That's our joy. That's the expression of our joy. Peace and rest. Are you at peace? And are you at rest before the Lord in your situation, in your life, with the things around you? Do you have peace and rest in the Lord? Or a little unrest? Number 6, I am breathing out my longings in thy listening, loving ear, and breathing in thy answers, stilling every doubt and fear. Are there longings? Are there aspirations? That's okay, that's good, even healthy. You get interviewed very often, they ask, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Maybe from your reviews too. Where do you see yourself? You have to have an answer. You gotta have an answer for that. Maybe it's a longing, but maybe 6-7 years later, you didn't get there. You're like halfway there. That's disappointing. Is it time to abort? Is it time to have a new longing? Or are you just full of bitterness? Lord, I've heard this. Lord, I did this. I did that. I went to these meetings. I served. I did all the things right. I went to the training. What did it get me? Like, as if it was a deal. I do this, then you bless me with that. Actually, we just end up with full of bitterness. Oh, we have to learn to breathe.
Amen.
To let go. To empty. So, saints, these two things I find. If we learn these principles, breathing out, unloading, and also training our mind, even realizing when the distraction is coming, to bring our mind under the subjection of the Spirit, this will greatly improve our times with the Lord. Okay, let's read a little bit in the outline. We're going to jump to just a few points. Let's read A, 1, 2, 3. Let's read A together. In order to breathe in God through prayer.
We must hear before God.
Okay, sisters.
When we pray, we close our eyes not only to concentrate, but also to stop our outward being.
Amen.
Our outward being often wanders with our eyes.
Brothers.
of our being and exercise our spirit.
Amen. Sisters. Amen. Amen. Brothers, be.
After touching God in our spirit, we should be silent and calm. We must learn the lesson of not opening our mouth quickly. We do not need to shout and cry when we touch God.
Sisters. Brothers.
The more intimate we are with a person, the more silent we can be when we are with that person. Simply by looking at each other, our sentiments are conveyed without speaking.
Now, in point B, we have two references in Psalms, Psalm 62:1 and Psalm 131:2. Psalm 62:1 says, "My soul," please listen to this. Very specific. My soul waits in silence before Jehovah. My soul waits in silence before Jehovah. And Psalm 131:2 says, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul." Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. What needs to be silent? Our soul. Our soul. You know, here in the point, it says we don't have to shout and cry out. Yeah. But I would let you know, this ministry, everything here is like a line from the books that I recommended. It's got an excerpt. There's no original writing. This is a compilation, this outline. And when Brother Lee talks about being silent, okay, this was in 1958 and 1959. Calling on the Lord was not recovered among us until 1968. I do believe if he had written this after 1968, he would say, "You need to stop your entire being by calling on the name of the Lord." Because in our practice, that really helps. How do you quiet your mind? Unless you have inner discipline, if you're just sitting there or kneeling there, totally silent, I wonder how long you would last. Some of us would just fall asleep. Others of us, oh my, the bombardment of thought. Oh, so we really recommend calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Calling. Oh, Lord Jesus. But not the kind of superficial, common calling that sometimes we do in the meeting because we're just going along with the activity of the meeting. I really don't like it. We have a lot of brothers here who serve the young people. You have to watch it with the kids. You know, sometimes this room is full, much double this number. And we have the young people here and the brothers. Okay, before we sing, let's all call on the name of the Lord three times. Always three times. I don't know why. Three times. And we go, "Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus." Amen. I don't mean the one up front, but in the audience, if you check, look at the faces. Some of them are, "Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus." You from here. That's not what we mean. When you're with the Lord, we call. And really, for it to be effective, you don't have to cry out. Even in very low voice, because you have to take care of your environment sometimes. Not here. At this camp, scream. Just take advantage that you're here. Just call. Go to the woods and cry out.
Amen.
Find a room and just call. Here, you have the license. But not in the townhouses when other people are sleeping. But do you understand? You can. But when your heart is genuine, you can just say, "Oh, Lord Jesus," and you're full. Let's practice. Let's practice. One, two, three. You don't do it just to go along. You do it because you're calling Him. That's the way to calm our being. Now, the point here is we need to calm our inner being. And that's what we're talking about with these two points. If we want the dispensing of the Lord into our heart to be effective, we have to calm our inner being. Stop the activity. It's kind of like, you know, when you see the lake here, especially early in the morning, there's not much wind, and it's just a mirror. And what you see there is what's there. It's a reflection. We have a verse, you know, in 2 Corinthians, beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we want. Amen. So anyway, we just mentioned these few principles, and I think that's as far as I'll go. Wait on the Lord.
Amen.
Wait on the Lord. Learn to calm your inner being. But saints, do pay attention to the breathing out. If you have not had a time of exhaling in some time, I would encourage you, even this afternoon, our next meeting's at 4 o'clock, take some time, take a walk, or find a room. Spend the time. Maybe for something like this, you need 30 minutes just to unload before the Lord. Maybe, in my experience, sometimes takes an hour. I take a walk somewhere, even in the city. You know, in the city, there's something particular about Manhattan. You can be there and be by yourself. And even you pray out loud. People don't, they just think you're crazy like the other people. So they don't bother you. It's not distracting walking there. But anyway, it's not my point. My point is find a place where you can just unload. You know, in this point back here about the specific place, Brother Lee makes a very interesting point. He says, you need a place where you pray regularly. I don't mean today, although today I hope you can find such a place. When we pray regularly with the Lord, we need a place in which we can both cry and laugh. Because sometimes in our fellowship with the Lord touches us, and you must weep. And those tears are this breathing out. Those tears carry the frustration. Those tears carry the sorrow. Carry the wounds out of you. You need a place where you can just cry. And sometimes you're just so encouraged by the Lord, by His forgiveness, by His comfort, where you have to laugh, you have to rejoice out loud. You need such a place. If you don't have such a place, how can your inner being have the channel to be released? So I hope you could consider this for the long run, even the place of prayer. Amen. How about we have some prayer with some around us, two or three, you know, one or two around us, a little prayer, and then we'll see. We might take a few minutes still for overflowing. Amen.